Today's reading is taken from Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, 4, and 8 to the end. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for them who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Verses 8 to the end. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people of the Lord. They are a people that the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord, for my soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels, for as the soil makes a young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel reading can be found on page 1063, and it's taken from John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. And this is about John the Baptist denying being the Messiah. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me as we stand. Father, we pray that in this day you will help us to testify to you as the light of Christ. So may the words that I speak and the words that are received be blessed by you. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Please do sit. So there are many seasons in our lives, and I know that somebody had a very special birthday yesterday. I'm sure Robert won't mind me mentioning that. We all have red letter days and times that we celebrate with other people. But we also have times in our lives, as we know from our experience, where there are sad times, where we have people that we lose, where we might be sick, all sorts of things happening in our experience. And as Jody has already shared, there are seasons in our church's year. And I really love that, how we proceed through the year with the story of Christ, and our story is part of that. So the season of Advent emerged in the 4th and 5th centuries, and like Lent, it then lasted for 40 days. Gradually that tradition changed as it is today for the 4 Sundays before Christmas Day. And as Jody shared, the 3rd Sunday emerged as something distinctive, as different, mirroring the 4th Sunday in Lent, Mothering Sunday, although I really like the name Refreshment Sunday. Both are important, but the refreshment says something about the purpose. And as we learnt from the candles, that is something that we do. And the candle with these colours brings out a difference in that joy. As she shared, it's called Getty Sunday. And that's from the words of the opening introit, which means rejoice. It's called In Domino Semper, Latin, from the Latin Mass, rejoice in the Lord always. So what is an intro? Well, from the Latin again, it means entrance. It was when the clergy processed in and was part of the opening liturgical celebration. And our lectionary readings, a lectionary reading is, there is a book, and in that there is a 3-year cycle of the readings. And technically we're in year B, so the readings are different, but all the readings for this 3rd Sunday in Advent are about rejoicing. And today we have 2 of them. But from when they entered in, this rejoicing, is rejoicing the Lord always, comes from Philippians 4, which is actually in next year, year C. So during this penitential season, we have the time this Sunday where we think of joy, where we think of the coming and the light of Christ. We anticipate the joyous coming of Jesus Christ through the readings, one from Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet in the 8th century before Christ, long time ago. And then through John, who writes of John the Baptist today. So let's try and capture the anticipation of the Jewish nation, the sense of joy when John arrived on the scene and told them that Jesus was coming to dispel darkness and fear. Christ came to live among us as a human being and as one of us. And the Word, who was the nature of God, became a human being and lived. Literally, he pitched his tent among us, as we read in John 1:14. And the scripture from Isaiah speaks of God providing for those who mourn, giving them a garland instead of ashes, a garland of joy, an oil of gladness, a mantle of praise. These are images that must have seemed very strange and out of place, as joy also may seem out of place to many in our world who have reached the end of their tether. To whom these words, to whom these people were written and originally directed, had lost their homes, had lost their freedom. They had become slaves in a foreign land. They were without hope. When they were finally set free to go back to their homes, they found their homes in ruins. They were broken-hearted. They felt defeated. They had all but given up. And then, to these people, the prophet Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release to the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn, and to give them the oil of gladness." Probably familiar words to some of you, because centuries later, Jesus chose to speak on this passage from Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, at the start of his ministry. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. And at his baptism, the Spirit of the Lord would descend upon him. So this passage provides a blueprint for the type of ministry that God's people are called upon to provide in every age. And we read that in Luke's Gospel. The Lord wants us to go to the poor, not just the poor financially, but people are poor in many different ways. We are asked to bind up the brokenhearted, to provide liberty to the captives, and to comfort those who mourn, to bring justice to the people. And John comes to testify to Jesus, the Saviour of the world. I want to look in a little more detail at the John reading. So if you want to have it in front of you, you may wish to do that. You may just wish to listen to me. But it's on page 1063. So, John 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem set priests and Levites to ask him who he was. The Baptist, John the Baptist, as we know from last week's play, if we were here and we should know anyway, was from a priestly family, as we read in Luke. Zechariah was his father, a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. So the reason why priests were sent as questioners was because it would have been appropriate for a priest to question another priest. All priests are Levites, being selected from the tribe of Levi, but not all Levites are priests. But they do represent the hierarchy who come from Jerusalem to question John, "Who are you?" Verse 20. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." No, I am not the Messiah you are looking for. Verse 21. They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "No." According to 2 Kings, Elijah, the great reforming prophet of the time, did not die, but was taken up to heaven. And the New Testament gospel in Matthew speaks of John the Baptist as the Elijah prophesied by the prophet Malachi. But he was not literally Elijah come again, as John's questioners would have probably expected. Verse 22, finally they said to him, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who have sent us." I noticed that they didn't come themselves. What do you say about yourself? John's answer made the religious people nervous, for they had been sent to find out who he was. "Who are you?" they kept asking, but he had not told them. Verse 23, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord." This is quoting from Isaiah. As we have seen, Isaiah was a prophet. He told of us of a man who would come before Jesus came, and he would cause people to repent, to make straight, if you like, the things in their lives that weren't right. This man was John the Baptist. 24, now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him. And 25, "Why do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John baptizes in the River Jordan, just as God's first people had passed through the waters of the Red Sea. This symbolic action of baptism in the Jordan implies that God's new people, a new Israel, will pass through the waters again in baptism. And so they turn to God in repentance. Verse 26, "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you one stands who you do not know." So John the Baptist had been baptizing people in sign of repentance, for they were sorry for their sins. They asked him, "If you are not Jesus Christ or Elijah or the prophet, then why are you doing this?" They kept on asking that. The thing was that when Jesus came, he would baptize through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, "It is he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Why was this verse mentioned? Well, Roman soldiers would have had slaves to take off their sandals. So it was a sign of humility. And John, this is used to explain that humility of John the Baptist. Now we know that John the Baptist was born, his cousin of Jesus, a few months before Jesus. But through this sign of humility, we are showed that he says he's not even worthy to undo the sandals of Jesus. Verse 28, "This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where Jesus was baptizing." Now, this is not the Bethany that we know of through Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Jesus' bolt hole. Do you remember how special this family was? It's a different Bethany. So John had a very clear understanding of his role. He was to prepare the way for Jesus, who was about to begin his public ministry. And Jesus' teaching attracted the attention, and the people flocked to hear him. He said to them, they should turn away from their worries and their distractions, and they were to focus on one who was greater than he. They were to focus on Jesus, the coming Messiah. We have things in common with the people who responded to John. Their lives were a daily battle for physical survival. We often have to battle to raise our hearts and minds above the things that happen in our lives. And sometimes these things can swamp our spiritual lives. And I'm so glad we have this season of Advent, of preparation for Christmas. Sometimes it's very hard to keep that as a season of preparation because of all the demands of Christmas. And there are financial pressures, there are things that come in, so many demands. But to remember that Advent is a season of preparation for the coming of Jesus. So today, have we a clear understanding of our call, of our role, as John had? He was clear about his ministry and what that was to be. Can we prepare others? Can we be a signpost for Jesus' coming? So many people need Jesus in their lives. Just as John was a signpost to Jesus, we are called to be the same. Let's think about our communities. People are so poor in many ways. They may not be financially poor, but they may lack other things. So many lack freedom, the freedom to choose truth and love in all they do and say. Some are controlled and abused by others, or addicted to drugs, sex, or alcohol. In the midst of this jolly season, many feel lonely, unwanted, rejected, marginalized. So many are sad amid all the party going. There are many people who hate Christmas because their inner pain and deep sadness is so implanted in them. They are waiting for things to return to normal. 10 days sometimes before that happens in our season. So many are waiting and searching, waiting for us to shine the light of Christ on them and to turn their lives into the experience of joy, of wholeness, and of integrity. Now, at this time of year especially, our shops, our businesses, our streets, our churches are filled with light. But many folk are unaware of Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus Christ who came into the world 2,000 years ago. Just as John testified to Jesus as the light of the world, can we testify to Jesus as light of the world in our lives? Can we share our story of what it actually means to us to be a follower of Jesus, so that we can take that light to others who live in darkness? In the prologue of John's Gospel we read, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that all through him might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. We can clearly see that relationship between John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus is the light, and John is the witness to the light. He was not God, but what an important role he had as God's messenger, as witness. And he came to share about Christ to the people of his time. Can we do that? Can we share that light, the joy of Jesus? The joy, the great joy. Can we rejoice in all that he is to us? Because we have a calling to bring that joy to other people's lives. There are so many wilderness places, and God wants us to bring a message of peace, of love, and of hope to them. So John told of the light of Christ, Jesus Christ, that people might believe in him. We're reminded in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is the light of the world. And we are called to be lights, to be witnesses in the 21st century. We are called to bring the good news of salvation to a hurting, waiting world. He loved us so much that he came from heaven to earth that we might have eternal life in him. Jesus, this baby in the manger, this infant in the stable, will grow up to die for men and women, to set them free. He died for you and me. So today we have lit the candle of joy as a reminder that we rejoice because God still brings good news to the poor. Because God still releases the captives of whatever enslaves them. Because God still offers recovery of sight to the blind and sets at liberty those who are oppressed. May we take the light of Christ to others, and may we rejoice in Christ, the light of the world. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will fill us with the joy of the coming of you. Please help us to play our part as we share with others what you mean to us. And Lord Jesus, may we, your people, look forward to the birthday of Christ, experience the joy of your salvation, and celebrate the feast with love and thanksgiving. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.